From KMXT in Kodiak, this is the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Maggie Wall. It's the beginning of a new quarter, and that means a number of fisheries are coming open around the state. We look at upcoming seasons, as well as a review of how salmon went this year. Also, a follow-up to last week's stories about the secretly recorded comments by Pebble Mine executives. Two Alaska legislators cite the tapes in a letter to the governor, saying state land should not be part of any future mitigation plan. Mark your calendar for October 10th. That's the date of the traditional fisheries debate between candidates for U.S. Senate. Normally, it's held during Kodiak's Comfish Alaska trade show. This year's debate was rescheduled to October because of the COVID pandemic. And finally, a book to teach kids about plastics in the ocean. All that coming up on this week's edition of the Alaska Fisheries Report, right after this.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report is provided by the Stosh and Claudia Anderson Fund, supporting conservation and harvesting of Alaska's wild, sustainable fisheries.
As salmon season ends, more fisheries get underway. Alaska Fish Radio's Lainey Welch has details.
Salmon numbers continue to trickle in, but the total catch won't add up to much more than the 113 million fish taken so far. That's about 85% of what state managers expected for the season. Of that, over 45 million are sockeyes and 58 million are pinks. Landings of about 2 million coho are the lowest since the mid-1970s, and a 7.5 million chum salmon harvest is the weakest since 1979. Chinook volumes also are well below historical levels. The preliminary value of Bristol Bay's 40.7 million salmon catch, nearly all sockeyes, is $140.7 million, ranking ninth in the last 20 years. That doesn't include any post-season price bonuses. At Southeast Alaska, beam trawlers are back on the water, targeting pinks and side-stripe shrimp in a third opener. Southeast's Dungeness fishery reopens on October 1st. On October 5th, 100 or more divers also could be heading down for over 1.7 million pounds of red sea cucumbers. A catch of more than 3.5 million sea urchins also is up for grabs, but there are reportedly no buyers. Southeast divers also are targeting giant gooey duck clams. Kodiak crabbers are still pulling up Dungeness, and a sea cucumber fishery opens on October 1st with a 130,000-pound limit. Halibut landings have topped 12 million pounds, 75% of the 16-million-pound catch limit, and as always, fisheries for cod, pollock, flounders, and much more are ongoing in the Bering Sea and Gulf of Alaska. Finally, the State Board of Fisheries has accepted 275 proposals for its upcoming meetings on Prince William Sound and Southeast fisheries and statewide shellfish. The board will consider new meeting dates at an October 15 and 16 work session.
That was Alaska Fish Radio's Lainey Welch.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans, on the web at alaskaseafood.org.
Now, a follow-up to last week's stories about secretly recorded comments made by Pebble Mine executives. In response to the information obtained in the recordings, two Alaska legislative leaders are calling on Governor Mike Dunleavy to stop helping the proposed Pebble Mine upstream from Bristol Bay. House Speaker Bryce Edgman and Representative Louise Stutes wrote the governor. Their four-page letter cites tapes secretly recorded by a group called the Environmental Investigation Agency and news accounts of how Dunleavy has helped Pebble in the past. Specifically, the Dillingham Independent and the Kodiak Republican say the administration should not provide state land for a mitigation plan that mine developers hope will win them a federal permit. Details about Pebble's mitigation plan emerged in conversations the environmental group arranged and recorded. When then Pebble CEO Tom Collier thought he was talking to potential investors, he told them he would propose to preserve hundreds of acres of state land to compensate for the miles of streams and wetlands the mine would harm. Collier said he was friends with Dunleavy and that his plan was only possible thanks to Dunleavy's help.
Just between us guys, I had a nearly two-hour one-on-one meeting with the governor when all of this came up about a month ago to walk him through this, to get his commitment that they would be there. And now we're working with his Department of Natural Resources, and they are being very cooperative in working this through with us.
The Dunleavy office repeated its prior statement, saying the Pebble executives embellished their ties to the governor. Pebble says it's still seeking a federal permit for the project. It has until late November to submit a mitigation plan to the Corps of Engineers. This story was provided by Liz Ruskin from Alaska Public Media.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, providing U.S. Coast Guard-accepted, hands-on safety training for all of Alaska's fishermen and their families. AMSEA at amse.org.
October 10th is the date set for debate between candidates for U.S. Senate. Sarah Phillips is director of the Kodiak Chamber of Commerce, which has been hosting debates for Alaska governor and congressional candidates since 1999.
They are not going to be in the same room debating, but they are going to be debating over Zoom. So digitally, they are together in the same spot. You'll see both their faces at the same time.
Phillips says the debate format will be lively and allows lots of back and forth between the two candidates. The moderator is well-known radio and TV host Rhonda McBride.
The moderator will ask some questions, give the candidates an opportunity to respond, and then we'll have segments where the candidates themselves post questions to one another and have the opportunity to respond.
All questions for this special fisheries debate is limited to Alaska seafood industry, which covers a lot of water, transportation, trade, science, research, markets, and much more. Phillips says the fisheries debate will be aired on several platforms and will be broadcast live on public radio stations across the state.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by Alaska Boats and Permits, marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs.
We finish up this week with a book for kids about how to understand plastics in our oceans. There's a lot of plastic in the ocean. As it floats around, it breaks down into tiny particles that get into everything, from fish to even sea salt. If you eat seafood caught near Alaska, there's a good chance that you've ingested tiny bits of plastic. Explaining that fact to kids might come off as off-putting or even depressing. But a professor at the University of Alaska Anchorage has made a pop-up book to teach kids about marine plastic pollution. As Wesley Early reports, the book shows the hard truth about plastics in the ocean and what kids can do to change it.
Herminia Din's purse is made of grocery bags.
So this is all the plastic bags, grocery bags, Walmart bags.
You can notice it. And you need a big bag out of it.
Exactly.
Inside, she has a ton of reusable items, from a metal straw to a foldable water cup. She takes recycling and reusing very seriously. In her work at UAA, Din expressed her passion for conservation first in a project called Junk to Funk, an effort to make functional items out of what you'd otherwise throw away.
And we do a lot of aluminum can, turn that into a candle holder. We do scarf, you know, old t-shirt, like the one you wear, we can just shred it and turn it into a beautiful scarf.
Her latest project, Our Plastic Ocean, Our Clean Ocean. It's a pop-up book that walks kids through what happens to the junk that doesn't become funk.
I thought this is an important topic, and so how can I translate the scientific data into visual imageries?
The book is split into two parts. The first half, Our Plastic Ocean, shows the journey that plastic makes as it moves from the cities to the oceans. It starts in the city, and as readers turn the pages, the plastic begins to move into ocean ecosystems. Din says different pop-ups on the pages reveal all the places that plastic gets into.
So the storyline continues, and then you can see the plastic, they never dissolve, they just break from the visible to a microplastic. So continue, you know, the fish ate what's coming from the ocean, you can see the whales eating it, a lot of trash on the shore, and then we caught the fish, and the fish becomes on our food, and then they come with a lot of plastic.
The end of the first half ends with a fish on a dinner plate. Fish that has eaten microplastics being served with sea salt that's been polluted with microplastics. It's a pretty stark image. However, that's not where the book ends. Flipping the pop-up book to the other side reveals Our Clean Ocean, showing a beautiful blue marine ecosystem.
You can see birds flying, but before we get there, the first thing we have to do is to stop using plastic. Bring your own bags for shopping and then continue recycling.
To be clear, when Din says stop using plastics, she means single-use plastics, like the grocery bags that form her purse. At the end of the day, Din wants kids to understand that the ocean is heavily polluted. But by being advocates for the environment, they can help fix it.
I just want to show people, you know, we have this beautiful environment, this beautiful ocean, this beautiful earth. Keep it that way.
I'm Wesley Early.
Again, the name of that book is Our Plastic Ocean, Our Clean Ocean. That's it for this week's edition of the Alaska Fisheries Report. We had help from Liz Ruskin with Alaska Public Media in Washington, D.C., Elizabeth Jenkins with Alaska's Energy Desk in Juneau, Wesley Early had the report about plastics in the ocean, and we had help from Alaska Fish Radio's Lainey Welch. As always, a big thank you to you, our listeners, and to the radio stations that air this program. For you fishermen, please be careful. I don't have to tell you that it's dangerous out there, but I will, just as a reminder, because I really do want you to come home safely. From KMXT in Kodiak, I'm Maggie Wall.